You're listening to talkingtrading.com.au. Share market expert interviews to fuel your profits, squash your fears, and drive you towards exceptional trading habits. It'll help you make the right decisions about what, when, and where to trade. Tune in anywhere, anytime. Now, let's get on with the show with Caroline Stephen.
Hello and welcome to another show. I'm Caroline Stephen and it's great to have your company. Accounting is sexy. That's what Jason Cunningham thinks. He joins us today. Jason's a big personality with a big amount of knowledge on tax implications for trading. He's helped hundreds of traders avoid paying unnecessary tax and has turned their trading into profitable businesses. He shares with us today the keys to getting the most from your accountant. Listening to this guy is going to save you a whole lot of money. The secret to trading success and the best two words ever uttered by a trader: money management. Forget the hype, forget the quick fixes. Instead, focus on the rule of sensible money management. And according to Louise Bedford, the creator of Trading Game, you will be following your yellow brick road to success. Just how much money do you place in a trade? And when exactly do you exit a position? We find out when we talk to Louise later in the show. We also find out what Louise is reading this week and what Mark Ivory, a graduate of the Trading Game Mentor Program, said about it. A lot to talk about today, but first up, here's the week's news.
And now, Market Matters with Louise Bedford.
So what happened in the Aussie market this week?
Look, the market is in some sort of schmozzle, there's no doubt. There are some interesting things happening, though. We are right around that moving average, that 30-week moving average in the Australian market on the All Ords chart. And what you'll find is that the market dipped below the moving average and it's just tucked its head back above with a little green candle.
That sounds hopeful.
Hopefully. Actually, what I'm seeing is quite an interesting little setup here, because if you have a look at the last few months, around about since September, October, we've actually been moving in a sideways band, but there are some specific things that are happening here.
Like what, Lou? Have you noticed any interesting patterns happening on the charts?
Definitely. I'm thinking, and certainly the next few weeks will tell us whether I'm correct or not, I'm thinking that what we're heading into here is actually a symmetrical triangle. If you look on a weekly chart, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this because they're fascinating patterns. If you look on a weekly chart, you can actually see that there's a couple of lower highs since about September, October, but there are also a couple of higher lows. Now, what that means is usually when you have this convergence of price or index points, as we're talking about right now, usually in the final third of that triangle, you can expect a breakout to the up or down side. So we are almost in a pressure cooker situation where things are churning, we aren't quite ready to break out and display a clear trend, but certainly from a pattern side, things are looking quite interesting.
That's exciting. So it's either going to be a break up or a break down. Do you have any idea which way it'll go?
Often with a symmetrical triangle, it will break in the direction of the overall trend. So because the overall trend since about July last year has been up, surely, hopefully, who knows, we're hoping for an upside break. The interesting part about it, though, with this is that we also have on a very micro level, the last 3 weeks, we have the formation of a morning star pattern. So for those of you that are familiar with candlesticks, you'd love to have a look at this little morning star. It's beautiful because there's a tiny little shooting star, which is like the little baby. They call it the abandoned baby, but it doesn't have a gap. So this is just the baby part of the morning star. Aren't these just beautiful pieces of terminology that I'm using?
Very poetic.
It is, isn't it? So with the morning star, it does look like the market has reversed using that morning star, but as a part of the overall larger symmetrical triangle, we just have to wait and see.
So what are you doing with your trading this week?
Do you know, I had no signals. It was weird. I had such a weird week with this because none of my stops were hit and I did not produce any new signals for the Australian market. I was waiting. I was just thinking, hey, any minute now I'm going to be stopped out of a whole heap of them. One of my stops got to within 1 cent, but it certainly didn't actually trickle on through that stop level. So a lot of people have actually been setting contingent stops on the US market and been doing very well with that. What a contingent stop is where you place a stop where the market action hasn't actually hit that point, and then the stop is actually automatically triggering you into or out of a position. So with the US market, a lot of our traders did very well in the last couple of weeks with some short-term contingent stops. Once their mark had been hit that they'd placed on the chart, then they entered into a stop and reverse strategy. So rather than just making money when the US market was going up, they actually had a stop with that. They stopped out of their initial position and then it entered into a short position. And that has been a very good strategy. That short-term stop and reverse strategy on the US market has done very, very well. The US market has seen a lot more action than the Australian market. The majority of my traders' profits has come from the US market, indices and commodities, and a bit in FX, although FX has been a bit fickle as well, depending on which pair you choose to trade.
Thanks, Louise. That's a great market wrap.
Most traders act like a little kid in the markets. They don't know that a great trading plan is their secret weapon.
Isn't it time you grew the f*** up? Register on tradinggame.com.au and grab our free trading plan template. It's a sign of being a mature trader.
Tax accounting is sexy when it saves you a whole lot of money. How do you woo your accountant to make love to your profits? Well, Jason Cunningham is an accountant with expertise on tax implications for share trading. He's a financial commentator on the TV program The Living Room and on Drive Time Radio. He also works closely with Louise and Chris of tradinggame.com.au. He's helped hundreds of traders avoid paying unnecessary tax and has turned their trading into profitable businesses. He shares with us today the keys to getting the most out of your accountant so they provide you with not only bookkeeping, but also strategic advice. Jason, hello, and thanks for joining us.
Hi, Caroline. Thanks for having me.
So, Jason, how does the ATO determine if you're a trader or an investor?
When it comes to the tax office, there are sort of five things that they consider as to determine whether you're a trader or, in actual fact, an investor. Now, for the majority of our clients that undertake courses and try to understand the market and like to be considered traders, they're in a better position to be a trader because typically it means they pay less tax. Now, the five things that they look at are firstly the nature of your activity and whether or not you have a purpose for making profit, the repetition and regularity of your trading, three, whether you organize yourself in a business-like manner and so the way you keep records and the way you set up your business, four, they look at the volume of trading, and finally, five, the amount of capital that's injected into your trading business. Now, if you are considered in the eyes of the tax office to be a trader, and as I mentioned, typically therefore you pay less in tax. The reason you pay less in tax is because you're entitled to a lot more tax deductions, but also, and more importantly, you're entitled to treat your stock like typical trading stock. And what that means is that at the end of the financial year, even if you haven't sold out a position but made a loss on a position, it means you can bring in unrealized losses because you're allowed to value it on either cost or net realizable value. And in this instance, if you're trading on a long position and your stock is decreased in value, you pick up the net realizable value, which means that you can ascertain, if you like, a loss without having to execute the trade.
Just picking up on point number three that you mentioned, going up to keeping your records up to date, what are the benefits of doing that?
Well, look, I see that as a heap of benefits. Let's have a look at how the tax office says, look, you need to conduct yourself in a business-like manner for them to to prove or to regard you as being in the business of trading. I think that's really important, because too often people don't consider their records. And what happens is, if you go to see your accountant at the end of the year, or like some of our clients do on a periodic basis, whether it's quarterly or every 6 months, if you provide garbage in, then you're going to get a garbage out result. So therefore, not only is it important to understand and track the success of your trading business, but it's also important for you to meet your taxation obligations, but also your GST obligations, as well as getting an understanding of, you know, the balance of your portfolio. So how profitable you are, and then what are you going to do with those profits that you generate? So there's some smart ways out there. There's also some specialized software. We're in an age now, it's 2014 now, so we're in the age of cloud computing, and there's some amazing cheap software available that allows you to have this really strengthened interface, if you like, between you and your advisor, that's way more efficient than the archaic and historical software out there.
All right, so how can I really treat my trading like a business?
The first thing I'd do is I'd set up a business plan. So a lot of the clients and a lot of the traders out there have a trading plan, particularly those clients that work with the trading game, you know, Louise and Chris. But a trading plan should form part of your overall strategic business plan. So in that business plan, you know, it's all about, where do you want to take the business of trading? You know, at the start, obviously, when you first start off, you're going to put in maybe a small amount of capital. But as your trading improves, you know, I'd like to see people, you know, as they're becoming more and more successful at it, maybe to contribute more capital into that and really grow their business and have that trading as part of their overall strategy. As I mentioned, keeping records and being very methodical with your records, that's really important, because it shows that you have some sense of seriousness towards that trading business. I think, thirdly, get yourself aligned with an advisor that really suits you. So somebody that trades himself, firstly, but also really understands the nature of trading, and meet with that person in a proactive manner. By proactive, I mean, rather than just waiting till the end of the financial year, so once 30th of June's come and gone, there's not too much an accountant can do from a tax perspective. But if you're talking to your accountant prior to the end of the financial year, there's a number of tax planning strategies that you can undertake to reduce the overall exposure of your tax position. Not only that, and tax is not the be-all and end-all, but it's also important to make sure you're structured correctly. Structured from an asset protection perspective. And what I mean by that, it's hard enough for us to build up our assets, without having them, if they're not protected and someone can take them away from us, I find that quite frightening. So I think a structure that suits you from an asset protection perspective, a flexibility perspective as to how you distribute your income amongst your family members, and also from an estate planning perspective, because unfortunately, Caroline, we're not going to live forever and ever, amen. So it's important that we can have a plan in place to pass on our assets to our family members.
All right, I just want to change channels a little bit now. Mm-hmm. What returns should traders expect from their investment?
Yeah, look, that's a really good question. It's a tough question to answer, but the way I put it is this. If you're not in a profitable position, so if you're not generating a profit from any business undertaking, whether that be running an accounting business, whether that be running a business, a restaurant business, or whether that be running a trading business, then I say, you know what, that's probably not the business for you. So I'd first and foremost understand and develop a clear-cut trading plan, and then my behavior needs to be succinct with that trading plan. And the traders that I see, and I've seen over the last 12, 13 years, I've probably seen 500-600 different types of traders. The traders that are successful that I've seen are those that adhere to their trading plan. Those that don't adhere to their trading plan are the ones that don't make money. So I've answered that in a roundabout way, but all too often, you know, Chris Tate says, Jason, the trend is your friend, and that's the first component of your trading plan. If you're not following the trend, then chances are you might be in for a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, great. It's something they say over and over again, isn't it? That just follow your plan.
The key is you know, the key is to follow it.
Okay.
Just stick to it, yeah.
All right, going back to accountants then, because you're the expert on accountants, how can traders get the most out of their accountants?
They need to pay them a lot of money. A little bit of fun with it. You know us accountants, CPAs, I'm not sure if you're aware that that stands for car parking attendant. No, I'm only joking. Certified practicing accountants. So how do you get the most out of the accountant? Look, it needs to be a two-way street. First, you need to find somebody that you consider you can work with. You know, accounting and any other professional services business, if you like, really centers around your ability to communicate with that person. So communication, I think, is the most important thing. And by that, and I mentioned it a bit earlier, we need to be communicating with each other more than once a year and more at the end of the financial year. I think that's really important. So you need to structure some proactive communication with your accountant. So both you and he or she need to have a proactive relationship. I think that's really important. Secondly, and just as important, is to articulate to your advisor what your goals and objectives are. You see, our business, and this is not an advertorial or anything, but our business is all about having a purpose to help our clients achieve their goals and objectives, and doing that through proactive relationship and an ongoing relationship. So an accountant or an advisor can't help you achieve your goals if they don't know what your goals are. So that's why it's really important to have that discussion with your advisor. Say, hey, look, this is what I'm trying to achieve over the next 12 months, over the next 5 years, and over the next 10 years. But understand that every year your circumstances may change. You might get married, or you might leave a relationship, or you might start a family, or, you know, things can change. You might go into business. So it's important that you're having that regular discussion around your goals and objectives. And just the final thing, is, which is just as important, is never be afraid to say, I don't understand what you just said. Because sometimes, you know, us accountants, we get off in our accounting lingo and we speak a language that is somewhat foreign to the everyday person. So really going back to your accountant saying, look, I don't understand what that means.
I don't understand what you just meant, Jason.
Too smart, Caroline. This is why you get paid the big bucks. But it's, you know, it's very important to make sure that you can have a relationship where you're not afraid to say, I don't understand. Because there is no stupid question, Caroline, as you're aware. The only stupid question is the one that's unasked.
Jason, great advice from you today. Jason Cunningham, expert tax accountant, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us, Caroline. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the
tax man. Big traders are big readers. Louise, what are you reading this week?
Actually, I have started to reread The Art of Trading by Christopher Tate, my business partner. Turns out he knows what he's on about. Who would have guessed? The big bald bloke, for those not in the vernacular circle that we are. Now, The Art of Trading is such a great book to start you off because it goes through so many of the things you need to know. The thing that I remember when I first read it, Chris Tate starts with the psychology of trading, and that's how he leads into the book. And I remember when I first read this book, I was either thinking about going full-time as a trader or I just started full-time trading. I was so frustrated with him for starting with that because it was really three chapters of psychology. And I was like, get this out of the way and show me how to do it, man. What are you on about? I cannot believe how my attitude has changed. I love to take notes in the book itself. And I've got all of my old notes in this original copy, which just makes me laugh because some of the things I thought back then really are not accurate at all. I actually wrote, Chris Tate was writing about medium-term trading and how medium and long-term traders outperform short-term traders. Now, if you think where I was back then, Caroline, where I'd just left my job and I was a full-time options trader, and option trades are quite short-term in nature, and I did that for 2.5 years, okay, I actually wrote in the column, bullshit But really, that is the case, that medium-term and long-term traders do outperform short-term traders. I just perhaps didn't realise that at the time. I think it's great to go back and revisit a book about the markets that you've read before and really absorb the lessons, but also remember who you were when you first read that book. Look at the growth, look at the changes in your life, and give yourself a pat on the back for having emerged from your cocoon.
Thanks, Louise.
I'm Dr. Harry Stanton. I'm the author of Let the Trade Winds Flow, and I listen to Talking Trading.
In trading, there is a secret to success. It is such a secret that it's rarely written about and very rarely understood. The secret is money management. You see, it's much easier for authors to write about magic moving averages or special entry strategies and the like because they are easy to visualise. We are drawn to these things psychologically because they give us an illusion of control. We think surely if we can get the perfect entry into a trade, then we'll never lose money. But this could not be further from the truth. Louise Bedford, best-selling author and Australia's most quoted authority on share trading, joins us today to give us her views. Hi, Louise.
Hi, Caroline.
So what exactly is money management when it comes to trading?
It's definitely the thing that is overlooked by the majority of new traders. New traders love to come into the market and talk about entry, entry, entry. That's all they focus on. Oh, if only I could hook onto a winner. Oh, I heard a tip. Oh, my broker told me to buy. But they never think about how much money to put into a trade and when to exit a position. And they are two really key parts. Most novice traders don't even consider that. When I started trading back in 1990, I certainly didn't. I knew that Qantas flew nice, big, shiny aeroplanes, and I thought planes go up, surely their share price would go up. Unfortunately, nothing was further from the truth with that either, and I had no idea how much money to put in, and it lost me a bundle. So that was a really good lesson in not perhaps planning out my trade the way a business person would.
Trading is one of those things that's very full of jargon, which can be overwhelming for people who are quite new to the game. Could you explain some of the more confusing terms for the people out there?
There are a lot of terms, aren't there? Oh, look, some of the ones that you might want to monitor and see what your portfolio is doing with is the winter loss ratio. So how many times do you make money in a trade compared to how many times do you lose money? Now, I know a lot of people put an incredible bearing on this win-loss ratio. In fact, you can see some big swaggers and egos walking around, things like the ATAA, the Australian Technical Analysts Association, where these ego heads are saying, oh, well, you know, I choose 85% of the time, I choose it right. Now, it's interesting because your win-loss ratio does not determine your success as a trader. What does determine is how much you make per trade rather than how many you get right. The Turtles that you might have heard of, they're actually an incredibly successful trading group. They have a win-loss ratio of roughly 35% wins, but they make bucket loads of money because they plow into positions and they pyramid heavily into the ones that do win. So they make so much money per win compared to their tiny little losses.
So you want to be a turtle.
You want to be a turtle, exactly, exactly. So that's one of the things that you should look at. Another thing is the percentage risk that you're placing into each position. Now, I've been dealing with a guy over the email and he's misinterpreted the 2% rule, and what he thought is that you take, say, $100,000 and you take 2% of that and then you put that amount into each position. So you end up with like 50 positions, which is not good at all. So percentage risk refers to how much money are you prepared to lose on each position if it goes wrong.
So you could be prepared to lose the $2,000 in that particular position, but you need to position size on the basis of that using a little clever mathematical equation to tell you how many shares to buy. So that would be another thing that I would have a look at as a beginner trader.
And is that the main method that traders use to decide how much money to put into a trade?
It's a main method that I teach my traders, yes. There's a lot of other people out there with very strange views. Equal portions model is another way to do it, where if you've got the $100,000, the mythical $100,000, you put $10,000 into each position, say. That is one way that you can do it. And another way involves using that percentage risk, but also using the volatility of the share to be able to position size. I don't know whether there's been any survey as to what everybody is using out there. Certainly, though, there are definite penchants for professional traders and how they approach this topic.
Would you say that one of these methods is better than another?
I personally think that the percentage risk model, and then I combine it into a hybrid model where I'm looking at support and resistance levels as well, that works best for me. But if you've got something that's working, then definitely continue using that. I just like to be able to quantify my risk before I get into a position so that I know at this point that's my maximum pain threshold and I need to exit the position. That way it just feels better. You know, you put the trade on, you go, okay, the most I'm going to lose is X amount of dollars on this. And you can sleep well at night.
Very important. It's like a safety net.
Definitely.
Are there any other things traders should be aware of in this?
This is a massive area. This is absolutely huge. And in fact, in the 24 or 5 years that I've been involved in the markets, it's certainly something that I'm still exploring myself. It's that intensive. So I'm just skipping over some of the basics here. But some of the other things to consider would be pyramiding and how to position size that pyramid. That's very, very important. And the use of stop losses. So how to use stop losses to be able to not only position size for your initial position, but also your subsequent positions. There's a heck of a lot to this topic.
Louise, thanks for your thoughts on money management.
It's a pleasure.
Louise's book called Trading Secrets and Chris Tate's book, The Art of Trading, are key resources to develop your knowledge on these topics. Now hear what Mark Ivory from the alumni dinner last Saturday night had to say about his experiences in the Trading Game Mentor Program.
Okay, recording now with the illustrious Mark Ivory. That's a pretty good name, Mark.
Oh, it's pretty unique. Yep, so I did the mentor program in 2012. I did it in the same year as Malcolm Bish did it, who won the ASX share market game. So we must come from a pretty elite group. However, I didn't win the ASX share market game. But I did do the program back in 2012. And it has, in a nutshell, changed my life.
Oh God, tell us how.
What it's done, it's taken me from being a fly-by-night, just on a whim and a prayer trader to trading using a system and having some rules, discipline to be able to focus on what the market's telling me and trading based on a proven system. The system is vital. If you don't have a system, then you're just going to whittle away what little money you do have. And as Chris would say, if you have no money, then you don't get to play.
We don't want that. How important has the support in the program been?
There is a massive bunch of people who are there to help. Whilst I'm surrounded in my job and my family life with people who don't so much believe in trading, there is a lot of people now as part of the forum, as part of the mentor program, who relate to what I'm thinking and relate to what I'm doing, and they're a great bunch of people. And everybody is really supportive of each other, and that's the key thing.
So the support is a key factor for your training?
The support is it's the rod that keeps your back upright. If I didn't have the people that I've met as part of the forum, as part of the alumni, as part of the mentor program, then I wouldn't be trading today. My trading, I'm very comfortable trading FX and commodities and indices. And I do that on a daily basis. And it takes me maybe half an hour a day just to analyse different charts that I look at. And I can almost do it in my sleep now.
Do you have a full-time job as well?
I still have a full-time job. And I also have three children, so it takes up a lot of my time.
So what does trading mean for you in the big picture?
The big picture is it will help me in my retirement years to sustain my family and my wife, and so we become self-funded.
And if you had a friend who was thinking about joining the mentor program but they weren't sure, what would you say to them?
I say if you've ever had a thought about trading, ever wished that you could do some decent trading and be successful at it, then I suggest that you join the mentor program and fulfill your dreams.
And what's so special about Lou and Chris?
Oh look, they're just massive energy bundles. So Louise in particular is very encouraging and supportive of everybody. Everybody who meets her, you feel like you've known her for years, and she's always a friendly face. Chris, on the other hand, is a world of knowledge. He's got extreme amount of tips and advice that he will give along the way. And really, it's up to us as mentorees to extract what we can out of Chris's mind and Louise's mind, and to make ourselves the best traders that we can be.
And that's all we have for you today. I'd like to thank our contributors, Jason Cunningham, Louise Bedford, and Mark Ivory. Tune in next time to find out about life, nature, and money with Dave Bell. I'm Caroline Stephen, and it's been great to have your company. See you next time.
Talking Trading is sponsored by tradinggame.com.au and The Mentor Program. The Mentor Program has been running continuously since the year 2000 and is a 6-month repeat for free course run by Chris Tate and Louise Bedford. In the Mentor Program, you'll learn every trading instrument over every time frame, but trade your own customised trading plan. The results of the traders who have completed the Mentor Program are astounding. Make sure you're registered on tradinggame.com.au to hear more.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.